So a few things before we get started. I heard from Brandon Mock this week. He'll be joining our staff in January. He has he's a certified school teacher, and there is a person in Roanoke that went on maternity leave, so he is taking her spot, her teaching responsibilities through December. So that's kind of why we're waiting on him. But it's kind of funny. He called me and left this long message about how things were, how excited he is becoming. He's found an apartment in Ashburn. And then he said, and I can't wait to be working with you because I know you have just great things planned out. And I wanted to say, you know, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow. But anyway, he'll find out real soon how that works. So we'll find out real soon. We had somebody apply for the job yesterday, sent me an email. It's funny, he said, "Dear Pastor Dave and Saints of Doolin," and I'm going to write him back tomorrow and say, sorry, the position is filled. And then two families to remember. One, I sent an email out yesterday. Chapman Taylor's dad died. His name was Fred. He was a great, great person, a Baptist preacher, very social justice, part of Church of the Savior in Washington, D.C., worked with kids, just a great person. So we'll keep you with details with that. And then Sandy Grimminger's mother died. She had had some cancer and was very active at Seidenstricker United Methodist Church, which is outside the Beltway. And it's always wonderful. You know, I went to visit Sandy, and, you know, it was just nice to take care of Sandy and her family, but then to know that Seidenstricker is also there to help with that. And so that's just good news. So we're looking at a little bit about Christmas today, and I was thinking about Christmas, and, you know, it's called, we have Thursday, and then Friday is known as Black Friday, where people go shopping galore. We are getting things in the mail. I have learned that if you buy one item from L.L. Bean, you get on their list for years and years and years. Take a Viking cruise. You hear from them every other week about come be with us on another Viking cruise. But we get all that stuff in the mail, in our inboxes, whatever it may be. And so I was thinking about the big thing for the year is always about the toys. And so I had a good time. I just took some time yesterday, went to Target, and just walked around at all the toys. And all the toys that are being marketed, and some of the kids were playing with toys in there. And it was just great, and it got my memory going. So I kind of went online about what were our favorite toys starting when I was young. So it'd be like in the 60s. So I thought we'd have some fun a little bit with what are some of the toys and think back with me. So for me, when I was growing up, the boys, we had train sets, and the girls had Barbie dolls, and then Mr. Potato Head came on the way, and Tinker Toys and Lincoln Logs. They were just the greatest thing. They were simple. And then in the 60s, it was Spirograph, G.I. Joe, Light Bright, and Hot Wheel cars. I remember those Hot Wheels had the yellow kind of strip thing and all that. It was great. The 70s. Lego, Star Wars, Barbie's still hanging there for the girls. Video games appear, Atari 2600. I had one of those. Oh my gosh. Introductory price of $199. With inflation, it would cost $822.77. Pong, Pac-Man, Space Invaders. Oh my gosh. We got a little simpler in the 80s. Rubik's Cube, Cabbage Patch Kids, Transformers, Pound Puppies, that I don't think are worth much now. They kind of went up and then went down. The 90s, Game Boys, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Pokemon, Beanie Babies, Tickle Me Elmo. The millennium, Wii, Xbox, PlayStation, video game systems, aluminum scooters, Dora the Explorer, Harry Potter. This year, one of the top things is called Baby Shark Fingerlings. I went to every Target in this area. I went to all the major retail stores trying to find me a Baby Shark Fingerling. And every place I went to, they said, sold out, sold out. Baby shark fingerlings are these little things you put on your finger and you can kind of play with them. Baby shark, and sing the song and all that stuff. There's a next generation Mr. Potato Head. The new potato head moves his lips. There is the zero gravity laser race car. Legos are back. Rubik's Cube is coming back. Barbie now has her ultimate kitchen. The Avenger Hero Inventor set. Gifts. We'll all be shopping, giving one another gifts for Christmas. In this Colossians scriptures for today, it lists for us some gifts that God gives us. What's happening at this church in Colossae is, you know, this group thinks they have the answer. This group thinks they have the answer. This group thinks they have the answer. This group has the answer. And they're all fighting with one another. And so Paul is trying to tell the folks, look, folks, it is Jesus Christ that holds us together. Think about Jesus Christ first and not about yourselves. And then he lists some of the gifts that God gives us. The first I have is that God gives us the gift of strength. And it says, may you be strong with all the strengths that come from his glorious power. God wants us to be engaged with God when anxiety and depression, stress, doubt, frustration, cynicism, bitterness invade our lives. And when we call on God to help us, then God will give us the inner strength to overcome all of those difficulties in our lives. The second says that God gives us the gift of patience, and I'm still waiting for that gift. It says, may you be prepared to endure everything with patience. We have no idea what's going to happen to us next in life. Illness, death, divorce, laid off, betrayed by a trusted friend. We have to endure a lot of things in life. But we need to pray for patience so that we don't make knee-jerk decisions and then make it a bigger mess than it ever started out to be. Pray, pray, pray for patience. The third is this, the gift of joyful gratitude. Colossians, he says, joyfully giving thanks to God. Joy and gratitude, traits that come not from our mind, but from our hearts, and that we show gratitude to God through loving God and through loving our neighbor. You know, it's interesting, last Sunday I had the poem about, and we talked about Cliff. And at the end of the service, you know, I saw Cliff walk down the aisle and greeted him, and he spoke to us, and that was, I thought, wow. And I said to myself, you know, I did that at the 8:30 service, and Alan Chin was part of that service. And I said, I bet Alan called Cliff to get him down here because he knew I was going to use his poem at 11 o'clock. So after 11 o'clock was done, I kind of texted Alan, and I said, Alan, did you tell Cliff to come to church on Sunday morning for the 11 o'clock? And his reply was, what are you talking about? And then I said, he showed up. And Alan sent back a three-letter word, G-O-D, God. I wouldn't have figured that out. Alan wouldn't have figured that out. No one would have figured it out. You have to put it out on faith, friends. That's not just a happenstance. God put that venue together last week so that we could hear about the patience of this man for 35 years incarcerated, getting out of jail, and allowing him the time to express gratitude to us. And we were able to express it back to him. Friends, that's faith. That's Jesus. That's salvation. And the last is this. Rescued from the power of darkness. You know, last night, I thought it must be, it was so dark, I thought it must be 9 o'clock. I looked at my watch, it was 5:30. I thought, gosh, it is so dark around here. I need to get me one of those lights. I think last night I had every light on in the house. this darkness surrounding me at 5 o'clock, 5:30. And we all have darkness in our lives that just surround us and consume us and drag us down. But Paul says in this scripture that it is Jesus who will what? Lift us up. Gifts of gratitude. Expectations. You know, we read it, we talked about Mother Teresa at the beginning of the service, and I don't expect us to be Mother Teresa. That's hard work. She gave 100%. But you know what? In her books that she's written, she talked about times when she lost her faith. She had those dark moments in her life. I bet there were times when she says, I don't want to see another poor person. But she regained her faith and she carried on. I think about St. Francis of Assisi, and I love St. Francis of Assisi, but good Lord, he was all kind of messed up. You know, when he found God, he was in the square, and he took all his clothes off. And the bishop had to go and put him on a bishop's robe. And you know, it talks about how he gave everything away. He gave all of his father's stuff away is what he did. His father was a merchant. His father was a wool merchant. He sold clothes. And his father had gone on somewhere to do some business, and St. Francis goes and sells the whole warehouse of clothes. He just gives it away. Imagine what his father thought when he got back. It wasn't pleasant. It was dark. And then I think about John Wesley, who founded our Methodist movement. He was a powerful man. I've talked to you about it before. You've heard it before, where he would sell these called penny pamphlets, and they'd be kind of about this size, but they were easy to read, helping people deal with their salvation, helping them deal with their life. Cost a penny. People could afford a penny. And yet with all the pamphlets that he sold, John Wesley could have been one of the richest men in England with all the penny pamphlets that he sold. But you know what he did? He gave it away. He lived on 80 pounds a year. He was very meticulous. He had 80 pounds and how he was going to spend those 80 pounds. There was one time when he went to collect food and he had food worth 130 pounds. He gave it all away. And he was always trying to think, how can I help my neighbor? And this past week I learned something about him that I didn't know. I had to go to an ethics class all day. It was all the clergy up here in Northern Virginia, the Methodists, and we had to go to an ethics class all day about how to be nice to you and how to act when y'all are mean to us. And the teacher talked about John Wesley, about, as today, people in England love to drink what? Tea. And he discovered that he spent 5 pounds of his money a year on tea. And you know what he decided to do? He said, you know what? If I don't drink tea anymore and just drink hot water, I can take those 5 pounds and give it to the poor. And from that day on, the rest of his life, he just drank hot water. But you know, every time he drank hot water, he was thinking about how he was helping someone in need because he didn't need that flavored leaf beverage. He got along without tea or Coke or Dr. Pepper or coffee or whatever it may be. Think about that. So for each of us here today, we're looking at how we help others. And we do it through our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. And you have your little card. And some people, you may have brought it with you. And if you did, that's great. Some of us may have seen what it was. You knew what it was this time of year and may have thrown it in the trash. Somebody may have torn it up. Who knows? But we've got these five areas that we're called to serve: prayers, presence, gifts, service, witness. And you know, it's funny, we've talked about this Shift Plus that Nancy Reuscher and Alan Chin and I have been a part of, where we go and we get trained on each of these areas. And they said, you know, now when you do your commitment card, you be specific on expectations. So I didn't do it this year. I'm giving you a year's heads up. But I'll give an example. Like, we have prayers to be generous and praying regularly. So we want to think about, well, I want to pray every morning or every evening, to be more specific. Presence in church. I want to be in church twice a month. It's hard here. You know, I talk to the people in Richmond, and this is going live for them to hear. But people in Richmond, they don't get Northern Virginia. They don't get Northern Virginia. It's kind of like the legislature. They don't get Northern Virginia. We're busy people up here. We've got stuff to do. We are the machinery that keeps the world going. We're busy people. But let's try and get here twice a month if we can. Gifts to support. So, you know, they always say, you know, I always say what I give. And I used to have somebody that would call me, get very annoyed, and would call me boastful. But, you know, for this year, I'm giving the general fund $20,000. That's my low bar is $20,000, and then I'll give as needed. But that's where Pastor Dave is in giving. In service, I'll use my hands and feet by participating in at least one mission outreach ministry this year. That's great. And then the other is witness, to be generous. And it's going to be, you know, think about in witnessing, I will invite someone to come to church with me this year. Only once in 52 weeks. That doesn't seem hard, does it? And yet I've told you the stats are what? The average United Methodist asks somebody to come to church with them once every 38 years? Oh, come on. We're Northern Virginia folks. Boy, if I could task us like we do in our work, this place would just be the buzz of the world. But let's think about how we're going to support our church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our presence, and our service and witness. That's who we are as Doolin Church. So I would just say to us today, think about how in the new year, which starts next Sunday, how am I going to support Doolin Church with our prayers, with our presence, with our gifts, with our service, and with our witness? In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we all say together, Amen.